of withdrawal of Scott Gessler. All of us got the withdrawal letter. And it seemed, basically what I would like to do is, I would like to ask Ms. Timmons, what was going on with the withdrawal letter? It seemed perfectly pleasant, you know. Okay, so if you would like to sit, just a minute. I'm running the meetings, Miss Morgan. I am running the meeting. You need to stop interrupting me. You need to stop pointing things out and let. I asked Miss Timmons if she would please like to comment on this. This is her law firm. She hired Mr. Gessler, and she, I don't know the exact details of their conversation, but I would like it if she could give us the version of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Adrian. So my law firm hired Scott Gessler, and the reason he was hired was to help me because the district had 5 trials scheduled in a period of 2 months' time. So I made the decision that I needed an additional trial lawyer. My law firm hired him directly. As you all know, my law firm ended up winning the litigation on a motion for summary judgment, and therefore the trials were over. The main trial that was set is no longer going to happen. It was canceled by the judge. So therefore, the reason that Scott was hired no longer existed. Scott and I had a conversation about it, about the remaining work that needed to be done. He and I mutually agreed that he should withdraw his representation. And the main reason was to keep this district from incurring additional unnecessary legal fees and costs, because that's what happens when you have double coverage on a case and you didn't need that. All lawyers, and not just here in Colorado, but all across the country, have an ethical obligation to prevent excessive fees from being charged to their clients. And it was in that nature that this decision was made, was to keep the legal fees down. That's what happened. So I don't know if there's any additional questions about that, but in fact, in my view, this isn't really district business to be discussed. It was the business of my law firm. It was a decision that I made, and the contract was with my firm. So I'm not exactly sure why it's on the district agenda with time being spent. Staff is being paid overtime. I'm being paid time. So this is something on the agenda that really isn't district business. But if anybody has questions, I'm happy to answer them.
I would like to make a point, Ms. Timmons. I remember when Scott first came on, and then there was, he'd sent a bill to the district. He sent a bill directly to the district. And I think that Karen Morgan made a justifiable question. Is it, why is this $10,000 check here? Why are we paying this? And then I made the decision. I think I got that, and I said, well, if it has to do with he's being paid through Joe Timmons, then I need to give Joe the check. Is that right? Do you remember that? I think it was, I can't remember. I think it was June or something.
Yeah. You know, actually, under my agreement with him, he was supposed to send his bills to my firm.
And he didn't.
But that did not happen. And, it just went off like that. So that is something that did not go according to the agreement that I had. That's correct.
So he sent the bill to the district. And, I think Director Morgan had asked, well, is he being paid through the district? Shouldn't we be able to vote on this? And I said, well, if he's hired through Joe, then we don't have to go through the entire RFP process. We don't have to go through
exactly.
It.
He's no different than Suzanne, who is my paralegal, Andy, who, by the way, I could not have won this litigation without him. He was invaluable. He handled almost all of the discovery. It was a constant battle. He won a critical discovery hearing in front of the current judge. That literally put a sledgehammer on the plaintiff's discovery abuses when we won that hearing. I could not have done this case without him. He was invaluable to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So are there any further questions regarding the withdrawal? It sounds like Mr. Gessler was working for Joe Timmons. And since we weren't going to litigate, you know, we needed him as a litigator. Is that correct? Yes.
Right. As I explained, the whole purpose of hire that I hired him in the first place went away. Mm-hmm. Files were gone and there was no need. And it was very important. It's just an ethical duty that we all have not to have double coverage on cases when you don't need it.
You know, double billing, things like that. Okay. Are there any further questions or comments or anything? Yes.
Well, yes. No. As the person having added this to the agenda, I'm not quite sure why I was not asked to speak first. But that is, in fact, my question is that I don't. I'm going to take a tip from Ms. Timmons and say that I identified 5 wrong things in your statement. So I'd like to address those. I am not quite sure how the claim do. What I'm hearing is that this doesn't have anything to do with us. We have no say. We are not the client. We have no responsibility. Are we not the client that Mr. Gessler was working for? Are we the client?
I'm not sure what your question is, Karen.
Are we the client?
If you're asking a question, I need to answer, okay?
That's my question.
Okay. He worked for me, okay? And the client was Green Mountain. That's correct.
The client was Green Mountain.
He had a contract with my law firm. And I've already said that.
Yes, I understand that you've said that. I understand that there's a lot of ambiguity in that contract. Are you talking about the first? Let me back up a minute, just like you did. And I need to thank Mr. Gessler for all of his work for us. And this should have been said long ago. He needs to be stated publicly. Thank you. He led the settlement talks in the beginning, and his brainstorming, we got to see brainstorming with Ms. Timmons, Director Baker, and I did that led to that summary motion. So I know that he was a valuable member of this team and we owe him some gratitude. So thank you very much. I would have liked to have said that publicly in his presence, as is polite, but he was asked to withdraw.
Karen, did not put words in my mouth. You told John Henderson that I fired Scott, didn't you? Did you? Did you say that?
I'm sorry. I'm not going to be.
I want an answer to that question
by you.
I want to tell you that's a false statement, and you made a false statement to the public. Okay.
Really?
This is not just lack of transparency. This is a false statement that was made to the public, and I want to know. I want you to answer here tonight. Did you make that statement to John Henderson?
I am asking you what false statement I made.
That I fired Scott Gessler. Did you say that?
I am sure you did not fire him. You asked him to withdraw, which he states in his resignation letter. Since you asked me to withdraw, I have done so. So that is what his statement is on the record, and anybody can get that through Quora. This is on the record. I understand what you're saying.
Okay,
now.
You know, let one person speak.
I wanted the answer to my question of whether or not that we are the client, because what I'm hearing is that we have absolutely no control over the attorneys working for us, whether they get hired or fired. And I know when we can be greeted with a lesson and whether or not firing is asked to withdraw, but that is what he stated on the record.
He said as requested. Here is this. I mean, it didn't sound like there was nothing. Yes.
Let me explain this, Adrian. I have a right to clarify this. I sent you an email with Scott attached he was copied on it, and it said, he and I mutually decided and made this decision. And he did not dispute that, did he, Karen?
He did, as a matter of fact, not an email, but I did talk to him. He disputed it 100%.
Oh, okay. What did he say?
He said you asked him to withdraw.
Okay.
Yeah, his letter.
Did he say
that? So I did follow up on that.
Okay, well.
So all I can say is that is what he says, that I've talked to him about that, and that is 100% his stance. So it does not matter. I'm sorry. I'm not through with my questions. I'm not getting cross-examined by you. I'm asking the questions. I would like to know, as the client, where my rights are as to whether or not we are doing this. Are we not? You say that you have a fiduciary responsibility on not doubling our fees, but that did not concern you when you hired him in the first place. So you say that you hired him directly to your firm. All I know is the co-counsel agreement. Can you just give me a yes or no? Is there anything besides that co-counsel agreement?
I do not understand your question.
That you...
I can't answer it. I'm sorry. I don't know
okay.
where you're going with this.
Well, I understand that. I'm just going to have to... If you can't say yes or no, there was another... All I need is a yes or no. Is there another hiring for mechanism for Scott Gessler besides our co-counsel agreement?
I don't think there is.
Okay.
Excuse me. I need to answer. Okay. I gave you all the information that I have. This is a typical way that a co-counsel agreement works. And the way he said it, you asked me to withdraw. That's also very typical. It just means that the co-counsel arrangement is no longer necessary. And he and I discussed it. I told him if trial were to flare back up again, I would call him in a minute. We left on very amicable terms. So I'm not sure where you're going with this. I just don't get it. And by the way, this is not district business.
It is absolutely. See, this is where I have to disagree with you and why I'm very glad that that RFP is going through, because this is absolutely district business. And especially after leading the charge about John Henderson and who dared to talk to John Henderson, everything is district business regarding our attorneys. And where in the world this claim comes from that we have an attorney working for us. We paid his bills. He is working for us. He entered court appearances on our behalf. He came to board meetings when you couldn't make it. He is absolutely working for us. This is absolutely our business. And this is absolutely the problem in continuing our relationship, because you don't recognize that we're the client. This is as simple can be to me. We are the client. There is. So to follow up on that, you say that you gave us all the information, that co-counsel agreement, the other one is your contract with us. I have a contract from you from June 2019, as far as I can tell, and that's what you provided. There is no other contract. Is there any amendments to this contract? Are there any other changes? Have there been by motion or vote anywhere? Because I can't find any.
So anyway, I'd like to ask a question. No, you've already asked it.
No,
now,
I did ask. I didn't get an answer. Are there any other changes to the contract with Ms. Timmons Law Firm since June of 2019?
No, there is not.
No other things by motion, by vote. I just need to be clear that that's all there is. Because when I'm reading that, I don't see anything that says that you can hire Mr. Gessler at his present rate. You were authorized, and your contract says you gave rates that you could have other attorneys, and I don't see anything for even hiring him.
Okay.
Is that the contract that you're talking about that gave you the authority?
I have
just a minute.
Excuse me, Karen. I have several lawyers who work for me in my firm.
Yes.
He came in working for me in my firm, basically. It was a co-counsel agreement.
It was a co-counsel agreement.
My engagement letter said that if there were lawyers, they would be working at that rate. And that's what I did. I had Andy Astuno, I had my paralegal, and I had Scott Gessler. And I've already explained to you what my arrangement was. And I don't know where you're going with this, but I've given you all the information that I have. I can tell you this is not district business. This was an agreement that I had with Mr. Gessler.
Well, again, I have to just disagree with you because everything that has to do with this litigation is district business. And I don't know what the word is. So what you're saying is that all of the lawyers, Mr. Astuna, who is very valuable, thank you very much, and Mr. Gessler were under your June 19th contract rate.
Yes, that's right, Karen.
Because your contract rate that I have in front of me is one thing, and your bills for the last year have been another.
What?
My rate,
what are you?
225 to 250 at some point after about a year, my rate. What?
So where is the authority to hire Mr. Gessler at 250?
Okay.
I think that was agreed upon. I think it was agreed upon.
Who agreed upon it?
I don't know where you're going with this. Are you trying to claw back some fees that I've gotten paid?
I'm just looking for the authority. You say that this has nothing to do with us. Where's the authority to hire somebody else at 250? Your contract states for you 225 and for everybody else 175.
I'm Karen, I'm just not going to answer your questions anymore. I've given you all the information that I have.
Okay.
A co-counsel arrangement is very common. I could not have done this litigation by myself as it is. They had 10 to 12 lawyers, including paralegals, on the plaintiff's side. If you're trying to tell me that I spent too much, you know, I'm going to tell you that you're very ungrateful for what I did for this district. You are very ungrateful. What you're doing right now is pathetic, and you are trying to torment me and bully me and make me feel marginalized for all the work that I did. I deserve a lot better treatment than this, and I'm disgusted. You are being recalled.
I hear you've been very helpful there. And this is, again, where we go into personal attacks. I am asking for your rates and where your authority is. And I understand you are very sensitive about your rates. We hear about them at every meeting. But I am looking for any legal authority. And what I have been seeing, like you said, it changed at one point to $250 an hour. And that was for about the time that Mr. Gessler came on board with a co-counsel agreement. So this kind of muddied the waters, and I can't bring it up just like you under litigation because this is a little contentious. But I do not see any change that would allow you to even hire him at $250 an hour. I don't see any change that would allow you to be billing at $250 an hour. No, I can't claw back. We did pass and approve all of those bills. But what we can do is now say, let's uphold the contract that we have with you. That would be $225 an hour and the other rates for the other counselors. My estimate is that the difference in these rates is about $10,000 in the month of January alone that we paid you over what is contracted.
Okay.
So I don't want to claw it back.
You're trying to claw back money from...
I just stated I am not clawing it back.
Give it a try. Give it a try, Karen. You know how much your phone calls...
I don't. And you're interrupting me again. I'm sorry.
No.
What are we doing here? What I would like is just to honor the contract that we have that should have been done all along. I am not quite sure how it gets to be a personal attack when we have it in black and white, and you yourself just admitted that no changes to this contract have been made. So for the last year, we've been going above and beyond this contract. I'd say that's grateful. I'd say that's very grateful. But now perhaps it's time to stop and just adhere to what the board voted on. And
the board is
this contract dated June 9, 2019.
Okay. The thing is that the board did not vote to hire Scott Gessler. Is that correct? Do you remember that, Joe? Anybody else? I don't think we did.
Adrian, at this point, there's no point in going over this again. I'm not going to answer any further questions. You do what you want to do, Karen. Make whatever lawsuit, motion, go for it. You go for it. I was the equivalent of 10 attorneys to you. Deborah Merrow said it. I was worth millions to you people.
That is wonderful. Does not give you the right to change contract.
Don't
you are defending
me.
And you're
don't
interrupting
you
me.
Interrupt me. I saved you from five trials. Do you know how much each trial would have cost you? $150,000. We're talking $750,000. I saved you by being smart enough to know how to win on a summary judgment, something none of the other lawyers you had even any idea how to do that. For you to attack me like this is absolutely disrespectful.
I understand. So you feel entitled to be given the rates that you were charging us despite your contract, which I just find unfortunate. So from this forward, we're not clawing back. I understand, and I've said that three times, but I would like to make a motion that we adhere to the contract as it was passed. And this is just as it was passed. We've never changed it. We shouldn't have been approving all of these things without a board vote beforehand. So
I have something
my
to
motion
to bring
is, I'm sorry, I'm not done. My motion is to, I move to adhere to the 2019 contract with Ms. Timmons Law Firm and all of the rates and clauses therein. Is there a second?
Can I make a suggestion? I think this would fall under, you know, presenting the contract to look at that. We don't have it in front of us. We just don't have the information right now, Karen.
I'm not suggesting any changes to the contract. That is exactly the issue. I am not suggesting any changes. Changes have been made throughout the last year that you never voted on.
When the district pays the bill, that's their agreement to the Karen, that's typical in the industry.
No, I'm afraid not. We do not have the authority to just give you whatever you want just because you billed us for it. That's not how this works. Okay. So that's how it has been happening, Director Baker. You have not realized that. Every time we pass these bills, we make, and you saw how that happened last time. She made reference to it before, that we have problems with the bills and we question them. That's somehow stabbing in the back. But we question the bills and she says, no, you can't, because you're going to hold up everybody else. You can't do a line item veto. You can't do anything else. I'm not suggesting any changes to the contract. If you would like to, what should have happened is that any change to the contract should have been made over the last year, anytime there was a change. And it hasn't been happening, and you haven't known about that. So if we want to change them, what would be prudent was to bring up the changes at the next meeting and revert to what our contract states and just go from there. It's like reverting to the bylaws. You revert to what the last known written document was, and then go forward with any changes, which we can absolutely do if we want to suggest changes at the next meeting. But there is no authority. We shouldn't have been doing any of these changes along the way.
Okay, I'd like to ask something about the payments to Henderson's lawyers.
Where was the authority?
Okay.
Hey, John.
Where was the authority for that? Thank you. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. This is a different option. So you are distracting. Director Baker, did I answer your question on what this was? The contract you've already voted on, you did in 2019. So I'm just asking you to honor your vote from 2019 on that contract.
Well, I would second it to honor the contract. We have to stick with the contract language. If that's what the contract says, that's what we have to do.
That's exactly
right.
I don't
even know why we're having to do a motion on that, but, you know, I mean, that should go without saying.
That should. You're right. And Director Plotkin, you had a question.
Well, Director Baker seconded it already, so I'll just stand by.
Okay.
Well, I have a lawsuit, and you're lowering my rate. That's what you're doing, and that is why there's a recall on you people. That's for sure.
Because we're trying
to
uphold the contract.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you, Joe, for those comments. You know, I've been a huge supporter of you, but anyway, I don't know why we're squabbling over a contract. If there is an approved contract that the board has agreed to, it should be adhered to because that's the fiduciary law of the board.
I advised you that my rate was going up to $250 an hour and you all paid it. And that is the agreement. When you pay it after I've told you, that becomes the new agreement. Okay, that is typical in the legal industry, but it doesn't matter. There's no point in spending any more time on this tonight.
There's one thing I have to say.
Do what you're going to do.
I apologize for interrupting you, Ms. Timmons, but this was not on the agenda. And so this cannot be voted on. Absolutely. This will not be voted on.
I agree.
Thank you. This will not be voted on. Did you hear
the motion that is out of order?
It is out of order. Yes, it is. It will not be voted on. I will not allow it.
As the chair, you are not moving on. There's no precedent for that. There is a motion. It came out of Ms. Timmons' declaration that this contract, I'm looking for the authority to hire and release Scott Gessler at these rates. I can't find it. She answered my questions. All we are doing, all I'm asking for, is upholding the contract. I cannot believe, this should be a no-brainer, that we are saying that we are going to go through and you will not vote, you will not allow a vote on something that she passed without notice. Where's the notice of this change? I challenge
this is enough.
Objection.
We cannot go outside of our contract without a board vote, which has been happening. So this is just to bring it in line with what is legal. That is our duty.
No, the thing is that this is completely out of order.
It's not out of order. Out of order is not allowing this.
No, the thing is that this is not going to happen. We will not be voting on this motion. And the thing is that I am the president of the board, and I say that this motion will not be voted on because it is not in the agenda. It's that simple.
Adrian,
it won't happen. Listen, this is it. So we are not going to vote on this, and we discussed to death the withdrawal of Scott Gessler. We really need to move on. It is 8:30. Do we want to keep going on until midnight arguing like this?
Let Director Baker speak.
Go ahead.
I just want to ask, what is wrong with people honoring your contract? That's what I think I'm hearing here, Adrian. I'm just asking you. I don't want to get heated about this, but at the face value, if there has been a contract, and I know you know, we're talking about always the fiduciary responsibility and all the stuff that we need to be in line with. My only question, I guess I'm trying to ask you personally, if we have a contract that we approved as a board, should it not be then honored? If it needs to be modified, then we have to modify the contract, true or false?
I have another something to tell you that is parallel to that. You remember Kristen Buck, right? And we were paying her, what was it, $100 an hour, right? And then it went up to $150 an hour, and we paid that. I don't remember if there was a change, and that would sort of be the precedent is that the precedent was that we just paid it. She gave us the bill and we paid it.
Yeah,
I remember.
This is my contract. Can I explain to you how it works, Jeff?
Yes, please. Can we please be civil? I'm just trying to ask a reasonable question, okay?
Many times attorneys serve the same clients for years and years and decades. If you go back and look at the original engagement agreement for the Isonova law firm, the rates were way lower than what you were paying at the end. It's very common with a legal relationship that rates go up over time. And I explained that to the board, that my rate went up. And when the board pays it, that becomes the new agreement. You don't need a whole new written engagement agreement for that to happen. So my rate is currently $250 an hour. And that is an agreement that we have, that I have with this district. Now, if you're going to vote to lower my rate, you know, let me know if that's what you're doing tonight.
Joe, I wasn't trying to do that. I'm hearing the words that we had a contract, right? And I'm just, that's all. I think it's a fair question. I don't think everyone needs to get triggered. over every single question that comes up. But I think it's a reasonable question that can be reasonably explained or something. That's all.
So I just explained it to you, Jeff, how it works. You didn't have an engagement agreement every year with the Isinago firm when the rate went up every single January. My rate after 2.5 years has only gone up once, $25. I continue to charge you half of what you would pay anybody else. The very fact that you squabble about my rate is insulting to me. It's disgusting. I have been absolutely generous with you people.
I'm not trying to be contentious with you, okay? I'm asking you, and you understand, I'm hearing this as a layman, right? That if you have a contract and there's certain things that are stated, I think it's reasonable to ask the question. Do you agree? I mean, I'm not you. I'm not a lawyer. Don't claim to be. I'm just asking a reasonable question, and there's like everything is a fiery response.
Well, I think your question, Jeff, is reasonable, but I think the discussion preceding your question was not reasonable. Okay? You can ask me what's the agreement we had, and I can explain it to you. That took about 30 seconds. But we have been now for an hour on a diatribe about how I didn't have this or that, or I'm overcharging and everything else. I think it's inappropriate. It wasn't on the agenda, and it shouldn't be discussed.
Okay, I would like to move on to item number C, discussion of district election official in the event of recall elections. I have a statement to make. I was appointed as a designated election official by the court, and that is the end of my statement.